What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Episode 2 of the 24-25 season in the NHL and the 24-25 season of our podcast, Pucks in 7, brought to you by Sprott Money. We know times are tough. Every dollar counts. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer. Since 2008, they've been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. The past 50 years, gold has seen an average annual growth of about 8%, outperforms the S&P. Use promo code PUCKSIN7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca and give them a call at 1-888-861-0775. We are back, Vic. Second time, we're going to do another one later on this week. It'll be pretty much our season preview show. We're going to go west in a little bit. We're going to go in the east too, maybe about 20 minutes from now. And later on, DeAndra Liu will join us. She'll be our guest this week. We'll talk Tampa, and we'll do, of course, 77 seconds with DeAndra. I've known you for a while. You are a woman of your word, and you are a woman of your word because you said, I'm going to put the Florida Panthers jersey behind me for the second episode, and now it is. Well, thank you, Victoria.
You're very welcome. The Matiash version or the Matiash half of Pucks and Seven is on the road for this particular episode.
But you brought the jersey.
Well, I had to have something behind me, and I thought, you know, just it's some sort of hockey paraphernalia, and I know this is your favorite, so I thought that I'd throw this one up behind me. I told you I was going to wear it.
I know.
I'm not wearing it, but it is behind me. So.
We're going to get DeAndra's take on that because she's Tampa.
She's Tampa,
I
don't think she's going to be a huge Panthers fan. That's my guess, but we're gonna find out.
Yeah. This just in, Vic knows her stuff. Mm. Again, we're going to go east in a bit. A discussion we can have, which will probably trickle into our injuries in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And whenever injuries do happen, people are saying, well, why is the preseason like this? Why do you have to play all these games, all this type of stuff? Anyway, we'll talk about John Gibson, but Drew Doughty, Vic, that's a bad one. Broke his ankle, out for a couple of months. He had surgery. It was one of those hockey plays that just went bad. That was it. There was no intent by Pearson, nothing like that. But to see somebody like that, who is the heart and soul of the team, I know Kopitar is the heart and soul, too, of the Kings, and Dustin Brown was, too, but just to see Drew Doughty go down like that, it was tough.
It was really tough, and it is unfortunate, and I don't think you have to be much of a Kings fan to still appreciate the loss. Yeah. That just for hockey in general, too, 17 years, I mean, going to the Hall of Fame, my guess, it's just he's the quintessential King. I don't think there's anybody who's more important to that club other than Kopitar, perhaps. Could you even think of somebody? But particularly on that blue line, on this young up-and-coming blue line, and you've got the young kids like Brant Clark and such who just are going to be looking up to this guy. And once you hear, oh, Ryan, when we saw it, you knew this wasn't going to be to 4-6. You knew immediately. Yeah. And as soon as they come out with surgery and it's month to month, and all we can do now is we cross our fingers and we hope that January, February, he's back in the mix, and maybe the Kings are in the mix of the playoffs as well and they can give it a big push. But he's just been Mr. Durable. What has he missed? Like two games in the past couple of seasons? He's been night in, night out. And it's too bad. Heart and soul is right. That's a good way of putting it.
And he works his tail off. So you mentioned Brant Clark, Jordan Spence. Mm-hmm. What about Gavrikov? Potential one.
The young guys,
you can't feel the skates left by Drew Doughty. I say this all about hockey, and you and I love hockey. We love sports in general, but there's no exit in hockey. In baseball, there's the foul territory. In the NBA, go in the first, second row, just fly in. You've got space.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In the NFL, there's the sidelines, but there's no exit. So say that happened. He got tangled up with Tanner Pearson. Say there was some empty space, they would slide. I know that's not the case, but I'm just saying there's those boards, and it looked really bad. So they're not going to replace him. He's, again, one of the heart and souls of that team. So hopefully it'll be month to month. Do you think that they may rush him back? Say he feels, he says, I don't know, it's 5 weeks from now. You know what? I'm good. I'm ready to go.
It's not going
to
be 5 weeks. We know that. But let's say early December.
In a month. They're saying a month to month.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, hey, get 5 weeks and where are you at? Hey, you know what? I feel pretty good, guy. Well, you know what? No, we want you to be 110% before you come back.
I'm going to guess that he's calling the shots in that regard because he's a veteran. He's in his 30s. And I think whatever he says, if he goes to management, if he goes to his coaches and says, I'm ready to go, guys, I need to get back out there. And this is also a player that's 23, 24 minutes a night. Right.
Yeah.
So I think he's in the position. He's not a 22-year-old defenseman. He's not a 28-year-old defenseman. I think once he says he's ready to go, they're probably going to swing open the doors and say, come on back, bud.
Come on,
right?
Baby.
I still think he's going to be a big part of the team once he feels good enough to just hang around the rink because he is one of those players. And one of the bigger characters in the game, I really miss the Doughty Tkachuk when Tkachuk was in Calgary because those two hate each other.
Yeah.
And it was in the most respectful way, I would say. But he's one of the bigger characters in the game. You know, you get the toothless interview at the end of any game, win or loss, and he'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And he'll be candid. And we're going to miss him. We wish him a very speedy recovery.
Yeah, he can't tell you the tooth, but he can tell you the truth.
No. Okay.
Speaking of injuries, for those that have listened to us in the last couple of seasons, especially last year, I've been adamant on they have to get John Gibson out of Anaheim. Mm-hmm. He's still there. Hold on. Just let me check. Oh, yep. No, he's still a part of the Ducks roster. He's out now. He's not going to some other team, but he's out after having an appendectomy. So my discussion here is, number one, that's too bad. Secondly, this really deflates my idea and his trade value. If he's injured, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's so 3 to 6 weeks after an emergency appendectomy, which sounds a little bit scarier than otherwise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay. Different from the Doughty injury. Well, I mean, it's wildly different from the Doughty injury. In fact, it's just something completely different from the Doughty injury. But in the sense that Anaheim is still on the rise. It's not like this was a team that we were expecting. Yeah. But they've got a lot of young, fun talent on that team right now.
And we'll are watching them next,
and they are on the upswing for certain. So, but it's not the Rangers, it's not Colorado, it's not Vegas, it's not Vancouver. And I mean, they have their own issues with Thatcher Demko in the sense that he can miss 3 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me because John Gibson has made a habit of coming out really strong. Every year, it seems like he wins like the first 7 of 8 for Anaheim, and everybody starts to look around and go, is Anaheim better than we actually thought? And then the answer ends up being no. And they start to run out of gas, and he starts to run out of gas. So it's going to be interesting to see him push it off a little bit. Let's say he misses 6 weeks. And I think they're going to make sure he is 100%.
Yes, why not? Absolutely.
Especially with something like that. Make sure he feels good to go. And then we'll see him at, I guess, end of November-ish. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see how he manages. But in the meanwhile, I mean, his health is first and foremost. They don't need to push anything here at all.
This kind of reminds me, and we'll get to this in a bit, well, in this segment, about the whole Vancouver situation from last year when Thatcher Demko went down and Artur Shelovs came in. We'll talk about Shelovs in a second. Now, it's a little bit different because Vancouver was in the playoff hunt and all that. But my point is that you have this young guy coming in who played very well. What about Lucas Dostal now in Anaheim? He's going to come in. He's been coming off a great – I was reading about him this morning.
He's played well.
Yeah, Ryan, a great few-month stretch. Yeah, he has. So here's the thing. To your point of, okay, we have nothing to lose here. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Anaheim making waves. They are slowly. It'll take some time, but they're moving in that direction. So give the guy a shot. Why not? See where you're at. When Gibson comes back, don't rush him back. I'm not saying it's different than, again, as you said, the Drew Doughty thing. But
you got to make sure you're okay, though.
Of course you do.
This is Oregon matter.
No, I know. It's so I don't think the Ducks, they're fine. They're fine. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see what this guy Dostal can do if he gets the reins, and hopefully he'll have that.
You want to hear a cool prediction? I'm going to make a cool prediction.
Okay, I'd love to.
I think Dostal plays quite well with the Ducks. I think the Ducks are going to play a little bit better than most of us anticipate, and I'm including myself in that conversation. And I think eventually when John Gibson comes back, there's going to be another major injury between the pipes for another team in the NHL, and I think he's going to get traded. I do. I think is the year.
No, hold up. Pardon?
John Gibson is going to get Ryan Payton.
Just wait. I'm marking this down, the 9-16 mark, because we're going to put this out on social today.
He's going to get traded.
John Gibson is going to get traded. Okay. Okay.
You'll see. When he comes back, feels better, plays well, and they're going in a different direction.
Yeah.
And he's going to join a contender when somebody gets hurt. That's my prediction.
Okay. That's cool.
Moving on.
The bridge deal. I like these bridge deals. I remember one of the more memorable, whatever word you want to put it in.
Monumental
was the one that they gave PK Subban, I remember, in Montreal. And they basically said, look, yeah, we kind of know what we have. You show us a bit more what we really have, and then we'll sign you to a
bridge deal, which they did. I love the prove it deals. Prove to us how great you are. And for the most part, it works out for the player as well, because they do prove it. And then they come back and they make bank after that.
Yeah. Right. And Subban did. And so the same thing now, happening with
the. He sure did. Yeah, yes.
Same thing's happening with Cole Perfetti right now.
I love this player so much. I like Cole Perfetti so, so much. I like him as a player. I like him as an interview. I like him as a character in the game. Yeah. He has a bunch of fun. He does the fun things with Winnipeg social as well, but he's also first and foremost, most importantly, a heck of a hockey player. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that he did sign a prove it deal, because he was one of the RFAs, Ryan, up until recently. We were like, are they going to get this one sorted out? We're not talking Swayman territory, and we'll get to that in a bit, but you're still a little bit concerned. I'm glad they got it sorted out. I love the prove it deal. I love the fact that he has come out and said, just watch me this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to cuddle himself into that top six. I'm not going to guarantee anything, but I would expect that to happen. And I think he's right now on the precipice of really next couple of years. I think we're going to see the best really come out of Cole Perfetti, and we're going to understand why Winnipeg chased him so hard and drafted him so early.
And I think this is great, because he's been given an opportunity. He also said that he learned a lot in this process. And it's not where he went to arbitration, that whole process, right? This is basically the team and the player. There's nobody in between, no middleman outside of the agents telling you, okay, this is what I think you should get based on so-and-so. So he's going to – the thing that he has to – he was scratched, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in four of the Jets' five playoff games or four or five playoff games. So he was a healthy scratch, right?
Yep.
So he sat. So if that doesn't tell you something – if I was sitting at that point, I'd be thinking, where am I going to play next year? I don't know if it's going to be Winnipeg. Is that
right?
They're not confident in me, but I think this is great. And for him to take the attitude of, you watch, I'm ready to go. I can't wait to see what he does. And I hope he does well. I really do. I love him. He's one of those all-around guys.
I like him too. I think he's good for the game. Also a heck of a golfer. I watch him play golf this summer.
Yeah,
he's very good. It's funny watching the athletes come at any charity golf tournament, which we were both at during the summer. This particular one was for the fourth period. It was a great time. And they just come up there, and they're just pure – they're just bursting out of their – shirts and pants, because they're pure muscle, and they just rifle it.
it's more of the pants. I think what they did, they wore board shorts, but when they put them on, they go halfway up their thighs, right? Because they're just all lower body. I forget the group I was behind, but you know, of course, in those events, sometimes they take a bit longer than others because there's chatting and all that. Yeah, so we were coming up to this par three. And these four guys, maybe one of them was Perfetti, can't remember. Anyway, the four hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk toward the tee. I'm like, well, if those aren't hockey players, I don't know what foursome is.
Oh, you can spot them a mile away.
Oh, yeah. And they just were up. And it's like they didn't care, yet they were beautiful shots. And boom, boom, one guy missed by about 10 feet. He was so, that was terrible. Terrible? What do you mean it was terrible? He missed by 10 feet. It was pretty good. Anyway.
A different brand of competitor than you and I. Let's just put it that way.
All about the lower body in hockey, man. I remember Martin St. Louis. St. Louis' trees for his legs. Okay.
Still are.
Moving on. Gabriel Landeskog, I remember last year when the Avalanche were in the playoffs. He wasn't playing, of course, hasn't played for a while.
A couple years.
yeah, you mentioned about Drew Doughty coming back to maybe, you know, watching practice for the Kings, just being there for the team. Landeskog was doing that. He was on the ice with his team before the games and practice and all that type of stuff. So Avalanche may look quite a bit different come December, and that's not too far away.
Well, okay, they have Valeri Nichushkin, who's suspended until November, and then he's in the opportunity. This isn't an injury. He's in the opportunity. He has the opportunity to come back. He needs to make some amends with his teammates because of everything that went down.
Yeah, he does.
Bednar's talked about that. They all seem to be in a pretty healthy place emotionally and mentally. And Nichushkin is a heck of a hockey player, Ryan. They're a much better team when he's on the ice. Well, he's a truck, first of all, and he's also incredibly gifted and talented. And he's a top six guy, top power play guy. So that's somebody you want to have back in your lineup. And we've been waiting. It's a couple of years now. We've been waiting for Gabe, you know, the captain, Gabe Landeskog, to come back, rejoin his team. Again, a top-notch player, never mind the leadership and what he brings to a dressing room, but him sliding into that top six. Then you got Lehkonen. Arturi Lehkonen is expected to come back. You can't forget about him either. And you're looking at this top six for the Colorado Avalanche that has already been successful and won games as is, and have some young talent coming up in there as well that's going to be quite interesting. But then you think about Landeskog, Nichushkin, and Lehkonen, and these are three top six guys that could slide in if necessary. And I think Colorado will look very different if it all works out in their favor. And you hope it does, right? Then you're still waiting. The Landeskog, it's almost like he's so close. He's so close. He's so close. Well, I think we're all going to look forward to when he's actually not close anymore and he's just on the ice.
Yeah, we hope that nobody has a setback, whether it's a mental setback, a physical setback, anything like that. The Avalanche are a very good hockey team. You put those three on this club, healthy and playing at the level that everybody knows that they can play at, they're a very, very a good hockey team. Landeskog, the captain, of course. Drew Doughty, he's a lot of guys have been wearing the C over the course of their careers. I know Kopitar is in L.A., Utah and Seattle are without a captain. So, Victoria, Utah, your pick would be, and Seattle, your pick would be.
I know we're on the same page with Utah, so let's start with that one. I'm with you. I know you're going to say Clayton Keller, and I'm going to say Clayton Keller.
How do you know that? It's like we talked about this before.
Because I know you. And you and I both have a great deal of respect for him as a hockey player. I think there's also... the fact that he hasn't been named captain already, I find a little quizzical.
Okay.
To put it that way.
Okay.
But maybe that's just something that they want to sort out with being in the new digs, having left Arizona. Now they have new ownership. It's sort of turning the page for that organization. We talked about this a lot last week. So maybe that's a direction that they're moving in. He would be, also maybe he's just not, I don't know the guy. It's not everybody's
thing.
Cup of
soup,
no,
I know.
Right? Yeah. So it may not be for him. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the reason that he isn't, in which case you're looking at perhaps somebody else, but one of the most underrated players, not only necessarily in the league, but definitely within that organization, doesn't get the attention he deserves. So Clayton Keller is my pick for Utah. And you and I don't think you and I are on the same page when it comes to Seattle, because Matty Beniers would be my choice. Now, he's not brand new anymore.
Right.
And I think with a team that's growing as well, and I know there's some veteran leadership on that team already, but I think you give those guys the A, and I think you take youth and you give Beniers the C. What do you think?
We're completely off the tracks together on the Seattle thing, because I'm going with a former baseball player, Adam Dunn.
Oh, you mean Vince Dunn.
Right. Yeah, we talked, we joked. I said to Vic about this, and I said, and she's like, you mean Vince? I'm like, what? You don't want a guy who can used to hit 500-foot home runs playing baseball?
You really want Adam Dunn. You've done it a couple times.
I really want Adam Dunn. Yeah. I think that would change the landscape of sports. I really think so.
Right.
I know. I like Vince Dunn or Jordan Eberle, those two for me. Everly's been there a while. Vince Dunn has too. They're just two really big pieces of that puzzle in Seattle. But to your point about Beniers, Connor Bedard at some point sooner than later will get the captaincy in Chicago. The captaincy going to the young guns, this new wave of talent. At some point down the road, will Adam Fantilli be a captain? Who knows? Will all these other players be captain? Probably. But I'm going to go with the veteran, either Dunn or Everly. If I were to pick, I would say Dunn. I would say Vince Dunn.
Would you?
Interesting. I would. And then with Utah, as we agreed with Clayton Keller, you know, he's only 25. Seems like he's been in the league a lot longer than that.
Honest to goodness, it's like he's played for a decade. And he
418 points in 520 games. Wow. On a team that's not been very good. That's really impressive to me.
That is very impressive. He's incredibly durable. And again, I think one of the more, we both do hits with other radio stations and different programs and shows quite regularly. And I think I have said, I've named Clayton Keller as the most underrated player in the NHL.
He's got to be
over
up there if he's not.
And over and over again, just doesn't get, hopefully now new organization, again, what we talked about, new ownership, new rank, new state, new fan base, hopefully gets a little bit more attention if he wants it.
Another one, kind of a similar situation as I was talking about with goaltending in Anaheim, the situation in Vancouver with Thatcher Demko and Artur Shelofs, who's been looking, as you wrote down on the lineup, and this again, Vic always comes up with these, not comes up with these, but part of her vocabulary, and she's an amazing writer, is just these quick ones. So Shelofs looking okie dokie so far. I got it right here. Got it right here, people. Okie dokie.
He is looking okay.
You want to expand on
that? I forgot what I wrote. I was getting a little scared there. Because sometimes I use a little bit of colorful language as well that maybe not.
That's colorful.
Well, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. He is looking. He looked incredibly okie-dokie the other day against the Kraken. Yeah. He was – no, Ryan, honestly, seriously now, he looked fantastic.
Yeah, he did.
And that's going to – I know – it's one game, it's preseason. But when everybody says preseason, we can't take it all that seriously. I think that applies a lot more to the skaters on the ice because coaches are experimenting with lines and trying out and auditioning talent.
Right.
But a goaltender is a goaltender is a goaltender. You're going to stop the puck exactly the same way in the preseason as you're going to stop it in the regular season. Yeah. It's not like you're trying something new. You're just goaltending. And he goaltended the heck out of that game against the Kraken the other day. And he looked fantastic. And Canucks fans have to feel good about that, knowing that Thatcher Demko is going through what he's going through. We talked about it last week, the weirdest knee injury on the planet. So this is going to obviously offer a little bit of solace.
Yeah, and I said that to you last week, the knee injury, I won't get into the medical terms again, but it's hidden beneath a ton of tissue. So it's not
weird.
Like you can get it on the outside. You've got to go really inside, and they've tried. And I remember Shelofs last year. He was a great story. We all talked about it. And he was put in these situations, pressure situations. He's like, it's just a hockey game, whatever, off we go.
He was so chill, and he was still so chill. Relaxed. Yeah. And that's what you need to be, especially if you're in this position and you're now filling in full time for somebody who qualified for as a candidate for the Vezina. I mean, pressure, schmesher, like he is under it. So, but he's a chill guy and he's having a great time in Vancouver and good on him. So hopefully works out until Demko feels good enough to play through it.
Okie dokie. Let's move on to our last, you knew that was coming.
Of course.
The last one here, and this is awesome. You know, we talk about obviously the stats and the numbers and the intricacies in the NHL and who's going where and all that type of stuff. But the feel good stories are certainly ones we do want to address. And here's another one: Quinn Hughes and a lady by the name of Dorothy Palmer. So Quinn Hughes surprised this lady after the team's training camp scrimmage in Penticton, BC, this past Sunday. And she jumped out of her chair, ran to Hughes, gave him a hug as soon as she spotted him in a video posted by the Canucks on social media. The best part about this is that Dorothy Palmer is 105 years old.
I know you're building it up and you're telling a great story, but you're burying the lead. She's 105 years old. She's a very sharp and capable 105 years old because you can be in a different condition at that age, obviously.
Yeah.
And an incredibly invested Canucks fan, really appreciative of all of it. And we do. We watch the sports for the scores and who wins and who loses. But the best part of all of it are the stories. And this is a heck of a story. So
I'd love to be 105 jumping out of my chair to go see some hockey player that I like and that I like. So good on you, Dorothy, and keep it going. Wish you many more years of life. Okay, that's the West. We'll go East. Don't forget, DeAndre Liu will join us too later on.
Right.
In the last segment.
I'm looking forward to that.
77 seconds with DL, but we'll talk East. And again, we'll begin the East like we did with the West. An injury, this one in Montreal. Pucks in 7. Brought to you by Sprott Money. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And we are brought to you by Sprott Money. We know times are tough, every dollar counts, so we're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer. Over the last 100 years, gold has outperformed nearly all major asset classes. Silver has a demand that's expected to top 1 billion ounces by 2025. No wonder physical gold and silver are considered smart investments. Use promo code PUCKSAND7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca. That's SprottMoney.ca, or give them a call at 1-888-861-0775. Deandra Liu is going to join us in about 20 and change. We'll dive into the Tampa Bay Lightning and do 77 seconds with Deandra. That's going to be a lot of fun. We've talked the West. Let's go to the East and Vic again, beginning with an injury. Don't like seeing Drew Doughty hurt. Don't like seeing John Gibson hurt. Don't like seeing anybody hurt. But I really don't like seeing what happened to Patrick Laine and how hurt he is now.
This one stings a little bit more. Can we
it
say
does.
That?
It does.
Okay, because I think we were all super excited and pumped. You don't need to be a fan of the Montreal Canadiens to appreciate this. Yeah. But I think we were all really excited to see what Patrick Laine was going to accomplish.
Right.
Fresh start, turning the page, out of Columbus. I mean, Winnipeg is now years ago. But a fresh start under Marty St. Louis, who's a different kind of coach and one that we thought would suit Laine very well, what he was going to do in Montreal. Is he going to get back to, like, you know, flirting with 40 goals on a second scoring line with Kirby Dach, also another young lad that has had injury issues. And then to see this in the preseason before even a game has even mattered, and it looked bad. It is bad. He's out a pile of time as well. And it's just one of those situations you couldn't even get it started yet. You couldn't even see what it could be. And very, very disappointing. Very disappointing.
It's bad. And anytime you get a knee on knee, we've seen knee on knees happen in hockey where they have been purposeful. They also have been accidentally on purpose.
Yeah.
This one was, there was no intent.
No.
Whatsoever. This was a hockey play, a real hockey play gone really, really, really bad. And I remember Peter Holland came out, who used to play with Toronto, and he defended Cedric Paré. He said, look, this guy's not dirty. What he was wanting was not Laine to go around him and to get by him. And I get it. And it's not like, I watched the play a lot, and I tried to avoid watching Laine's knee because that's really squeamish. What I was trying to do was watch Paré's legs, and seeing if there was a last second put the leg out to go knee on knee. And there really wasn't. It was kind of in one motion. I'm not you know what? Yeah, I am defending it, to be honest with you. I don't think he did. There was no intention. You know, PK Subban coming out was dirty, terrible, all this. Of course, every time you see that initially, the optics are awful. And you think that there's absolutely intent. I don't think there was intent, but at the end of it, Laine's out. And do we know for what length of time yet? Or is
weeks.
That still?
It's weeks.
It's weeks.
We're not talking days, obviously. We're talking weeks. I don't think we're talking the Doughty months and months and months, but I don't think we're going to see Patrick Laine in a Habs uniform anytime soon. I will say this. This is what bugs me about the preseason. I was having this conversation with other pundits just the other day before this happened. Mm-hmm. My concern is when you run out, because we're going to talk about the Maple Leafs as well. When you run out your star players in the preseason and they're playing against these up and coming players who are hungry for a roster spot.
Who are trying to do anything to make the team.
Cedric Paré is not going to be playing for the Maple Leafs on opening night, but he's trying to make a case for himself to do so. So he's out there and he is absolutely busting his caboose and doing everything possible to impress the coaches. Hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And you can't blame the guy. You can't blame any of them. They're fighting for a spot on a roster. This is their livelihood. They want to play in the NHL. Yeah. You can't blame them one bit. But Patrick Laine is not fighting for anything. He's going to play on opening night. So when you have those two figures come together in a situation like this, and one's trying to make an impression and one's just trying to get his legs under him with his new teammates, sometimes bad things happen. And look at already, Ryan, what are we talking about?
We're talking about too
many cases of this. I don't know what you do differently, because that's actually what I was the last show I was on, they said, what do you do differently? I'm like, I don't know. Play 4 preseason games and have the Stars play in the very last one just to make sure they know what's going on. It's an 82-game season. You can take a couple of games to start the season to figure out what you're doing. But in the meanwhile, watching these star players fall sucks. It sucks, man.
No, it does. It's not only stinks for the fans of those teams, but for the National Hockey League, because as much as you want to see,
I wanted to see him play opening night, and now we're losing out on that. And I'm not blaming the Paré kid. I'm not.
No.
It's just lousy.
It's going to be something that always comes up about the preseason, about the games, about playing your star players. They can get up to speed. I agree with you. You don't need to do this. Play games where you have these youngsters trying to do anything they possibly can, and then start to play the other games with all these other players who are on the roster. Kind of, I'm with you. I am, because I don't like seeing any of these star players get hurt. Jeremy Swayman, what's happening?
Oh boy,
Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, he's back. That's great.
Which is
great.
So you have one good, you have one what the heck is going on thing.
Well,
right
it's
now.
Something for the Bruins to celebrate, right? Because here is their new top
number
one center, and he hadn't been playing, and Boston is like, oh, everything's fine. Well, I don't know if everything's fine because he's not playing.
Right.
And now he's playing again, and he played on the top line, and he's playing alongside David Pastrnak, and what center on this planet would not want to play alongside David Pastrnak?
Yeah.
And so that's rolling. So it's neat to see their biggest offseason acquisition now is on the ice for the Bruins. That's great. But Jeremy Swayman, still, as of this very second, Ryan, it'll change in 5 minutes, still without a contract. And it doesn't seem like anything is going very well there. I think this is one of those situations, though. It's bad until it isn't, right? So it's, and then there's a deal. Because that was just like Perfetti the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the heck is going on in Winnipeg? And now he has a deal, and now we don't care anymore. So we'll see.
I would be absolutely shocked if the season began, or if we got really, 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 like a day, night before opening night for Boston, if they didn't come together on some sort of term.
So it's September 30th.
I'd be shocked.
It's the morning of September 30th. We're recording this. We're doing this pod. So when do you think? Do you think it happens this week?
I think it happens toward the end of the week or on the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
That feels very sane to me. Yeah.
Let's hope so. Lindholm, by the way. For him to be playing where he's playing and on the line with who he's playing, the point production, 44 points in 75 games with Calgary and Vancouver, down from the 64 with the Flames and then 82 that he had for Calgary in 21-22.
Right.
I always find that funny. Oh, the production's going down. Okay, it's fine. 44 points, 64. It's not the same as 82. That's fine, but it's still production. And I think he's going to do really well playing alongside Pasta and a bunch
plus.
Of other guys on that
he's
team.
He's going to be back 70-plus this season.
Igor Shesterkin, the Rangers have made it quite clear that they're going to make him the highest paid player, highest paid goaltender in history. So where's that deal? Are we missing something here?
Is it going to be over 10? It's going to be over 10.
Absolutely
right?
Will be. Absolutely will be.
It's interesting. The difference between people who believe that the goaltenders should be the highest paid players on a team, because that's a group that includes Craig Button, one of the most respected pundits in the world, who will say you're not winning squat.
And I'm sure Vic, that group is big. I'm sure that group is very big who believe that.
You're not winning squat without one of the best between the pipes. You're not going to win a Stanley Cup. And then there's the other group that says, well, if you look at Colorado and how much success they've enjoyed with just a good goaltender. I'm not going to name any names here. People can figure it out. But they can win a cup with somebody who's just okay when you have enough talent out front. Maybe they don't need to be the highest paid player on the team. So there's two schools of thought here. He's going to get 10. He's going to get upwards of 10. I don't know how much more upwards of 10. It's also going to be dependent on the contract and all the rest of it. But it'll be interesting to see when that falls for sure. But I mean, Rangers, this is just a cap issue. The Rangers have money. They can pay
whatever
they want.
Of course
they do.
This is
not a basement team, right?
No.
But it's going to be a cap issue because the more you pay him, the less, and I know the cap is rising. We're talking about that all the time. But the less you have to pay an Artemi Panarin or somebody or an Adam Fox or whoever else, right? So
all that needs to be taken into consideration. So supposedly there's an imposed October 9th deadline to and have then this extension
and,
in place.
And then they're going to shut up about it after that?
And then they're going to shut up. Well, right. I don't know. But at least it's like, we want to get this thing done by the 9th of October. Though. Yeah, me too.
It's a Jamie Benn approach too. You're right. Either going to get it now or we're going to talk in April.
But or leave
it. This can't be a thing. And I'm done with it. And it is a distraction. I like that. Close the book. Get it done or close the book.
And the initial ask was about 12. I'm just throwing numbers out that people don't know. Initial ask was about 12. The 10.5 is what Price makes. So he wants to go above Carey Price, obviously. So if you meet the middle, 11.25. That's kind of a meet in the middle if you think about it, maybe around 11.
So much money.
I know. A lot. He's the most important player on the team.
Is he? I wonder, because I would say Ilya Sorokin is without question the most important player on the Islanders, without question. Mm. I don't know if Shesterkin is the most important player. I think there's a much stronger group effort going on with the Rangers.
Obviously, it depends upon the team in front of the goaltender.
I think so.
Okay. All right.
I do.
Yeah, no, I agree. Fair enough. Team in front of any goaltender that plays in Buffalo is anchored by one of the two young defensemen, Rasmus Dahlin. He was appointed captain. Announced by your guy, that quarterback that you see a number of times in Buffalo, the one, the only Josh Allen.
I thought that was really cool. I thought it was a lot cooler. I thought it was a lot cooler before they got absolutely flattened by the Baltimore Ravens last night.
Okay. We just stay positive.
I was much more excited about this yesterday afternoon than I am now. What a absolute garbage fire of a game.
Yeah, and I asked Vic what was, I said, ahead. Hey, you're doing good. You go, I'm like, okay, now I know why you're not. Okay.
Makes no, sense. No, it's fine. I know. But that was an ugly loss by the Buffalo Bills. Okay. This is a hockey podcast. I'm not going to get into everything they did wrong because holy Henrietta, did they ever. Anywho, it was really cool for Josh Allen. I love the fact that Buffalo is such a cohesive sports market. Yep. They all appreciate each other. Even the Bisons, everybody is very, very connected. And what a sports fan base that town is. I should say city. I spent quite a bit of time there. I really like Buffalo. If it wasn't for the snow, if it wasn't for the weather, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what a crazy sports town. So it was really neat. First of all, Rasmus Dahlin was the obvious choice for captaincy.
Which weatherman don't you like?
How do you mean?
Well, because you said if it wasn't for the weatherman.
Oh, stop it.
I know. Carry on.
If it wasn't for the weather, man.
I know. I'm just telling you, I'd listen to you.
I appreciate it. Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah, right. Rasmus Dahlin was the obvious choice. Everybody has come out. And I mean, I don't think any of us were going to guess it was going to be different, but also to have Josh Allen announce it. And when you hear everything that's great about him, this is what I like about it. When you hear about people who are named and anointed the captain of the team, you hear about how they work their tail off, the leadership qualities that they display, how much they are appreciated by their teammates. And it's nice. It's nice to hear that stuff.
And he is, I think he's 24, if I'm not mistaken.
He's so young. Ryan, 24. Honest to goodness, he's 24. And he's been in the league since he was 18. So it feels like he's been in the league for a decade. It hasn't been. It's been six seasons.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's been six full seasons, and he's still 24 years old, and he's going to be there forever. He's got the extension. So he's going to be a Sabre, barring some ridiculous, you know, who knows what happens down the line. But he's a Sabre.
Yeah, the extension he signed was last October, 8-year deal, which, I mean, Buffalo had to do that, and they did. The amount of ice time he has is incredible. The fourth highest for him last year in the NHL.
Shots, he hits, he produces.
It's amazing.
He kicks in production on the power play.
He's an all-around guy.
And to follow somebody like Kyle Okposo, who was the quintessential captain and was one of the most incredible captains in the league. I mean, those are big skates to fill, but I think Dahlin can fill them for sure.
Moving on with some more injuries, I think we all need to take a breath and reel it back in when it comes to injuries in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. Auston Matthews been battling an upper body. John Tavares been battling a lower body. William Nylander almost got knocked out
by his own player
who's trying to push him. Anyway, back to our point, though, about preseason and injuries happening. These are star guys on Toronto that the same thing. Now, not as severe, nowhere near as severe as a Drew Doughty and nowhere near as severe as a Patrick Laine, but still, these are injuries that are happening.
But when now you have issues with center number one, center number two, and sender number three.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like, goodness gracious, because they've got Berube is playing Nylander at center this season, which I think is an awesome experiment. I'd like to see how that turns out. So hopefully is okay, but you hopefully everybody is okay. You have to feel for Nick Robertson in this particular case, because here's another
He's been playing really well.
I think he's been all right. I think he's been all right. Better.
What do you mean, all right?
I think he's warmed up as the preseason, but he had a rough off season because there was all the talk about him wanting out of Toronto. What was he going to do? He just didn't feel that he fit in with the roster.
Maybe doing everything he possibly can to make the team. And like, even Craig Berube's looking at him thinking, this guy really wants to, I think he's doing really well.
Yeah.
I
think he's doing all right. But, and okay. What he did to Nylander was not vicious or sinister at all. Just gave him the little shove that you see time and time again, and nothing happens, right? But this time something happened. But when you're in Nick skates, and you don't want to take out your own star player.
No.
Now I'm laughing because it seems like everybody's okay. It seems like Nylander is going to be all right. It seems like Tavares, when he had his issue, he did actually come back and play in that game, which is obviously a very good sign. You are concerned about Austin Matthews as well, but hopefully this is just bumpy, bruisy stuff.
And
you just don't feel and you're going to be all right. But it is, it's a little bit of a sour start for the Maple Leafs. I think we can absolutely say that as well. When your top three players outside of maybe Mitch Marner and Morgan Riley,
I'm not even worried
you're
about
not?
It.
Okay.
Not even concerned the least bit. No, the least bit.
Good.
And you're not even concerned the least bit as to who's going to win the Calder Trophy in your mind this year.
Matvei Michkov, without
question. Okay, moving on.
I love him.
I mean, come on. He's got poise. He's got swagger. He's got skill. He's got the intensity.
I love him.
Yeah.
He's the kid that came over from the KHL. He's playing with the Philadelphia Flyers now. And you're always a little bit concerned he's a kid. He's a little bit older because he actually has played with grown-ups in the KHL. And I think, Ryan, you and I both know that makes the biggest difference. When
Absolutely.
You come over and you play
100%.
With men, 100%. Very different than coming out of junior. Okay, so this I call him a kid. Young man. This young man is already in that situation. He's playing in the top six with the Flyers. He's physical. He likes to hit. He goes into the dirty areas, Ryan. You know who loves that? Do you know who loves that? John Tortorella. John Tortorella loves that. He's like, his puck possession skills are fantastic. He's very strong on the puck, and he also is a skilled player. He's a playmaker. At one point, he had 4 points in the preseason through two games. Okay, one was an empty net goal. Doesn't matter. Still counts.
Doesn't matter.
He is
point
sliding
to point.
Right in there. And I know we're all super excited about Macklin Celebrini. And I know we're excited about Gauthier and some other rookies that are coming up this season. I know we are. I'm most excited. If you gave me $20 to lay down right now on a Calder favorite, it would be Matvei Michkov.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of young guns in the league. It's almost like kind of we're in a new wave. Always get this once in a while where the draft class
feels like it, eh?
It feels like it, right?
Yeah.
Feels like the draft class is where it is and where it was, and think, okay, now we've got a bunch of these other guys on these teams which are struggling,
Will
but they
Smith.
Can build around them.
Will Smith is going to play in the top six.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's a whole bunch of this new young talent. And you know who's a dark horse for the Calder that we were just talking about? Goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks.
He's still a rookie.
Ryan, he's still a rookie.
No,
if
I know.
He plays most of the season and wins games. That's going to be a tough beat, right?
And goalies are the most important players on the team.
According to Craig Button, got to get paid.
Right. Last one before we get to DeAndre Liu, another one that we love. And I've been a big fan of his in junior and for Canada and whatever. Adam Fantilli, fantastic player. Back to this whole new wave of stuff of players that we were talking about in the NHL at this point. I would say that Fantilli will be up in the discussion sooner than later as one of the premier young players in the game. That's where I put him at. I don't know if you agree, but I put him at that level already.
I think he takes another leap forward this season with Columbus for certain. I think we're going to see more from him this year. I don't know how great of a leap it's going to be, but I think he's going to take a leap for sure. And you can certainly appreciate it for a fan base and a team and an organization that's really gone through it.
Yeah.
We don't have to bring up what happened to Matthew and Johnny Gaudreau. We're all very familiar with it. And it's still, that's going to hurt for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But here's somebody that they can get excited about on the ice and watch him grow. And I really do think we're going to see more from Adam Fantilli. He is a very exciting hockey player. And I think he is right on the precipice of giving us a little extra this season. So that'll be neat to watch for sure.
All right. Tampa Bay, of course, one of the biggest moves in the offseason was, well, something they didn't do, and that is re-sign Steven Stamkos, and that still hurts a lot of the Tampa faithful. We'll talk to DeAndre Liu after this when we continue on Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
So Vic and I have been doing this for 2 years. This is our third year. Yep. And this is the first time we're doing video and we're including guests. I think the first two segments of this show were fine, but I'm really looking forward to this segment. I think the guest segment is pretty special this year.
Dennis Bernstein was amazing in episode number one. We really enjoyed that a lot. And now we're really looking forward to talking to DeAndre in episode number two. So you're number two.
Wow. Well, I feel really lucky.
I don't know if that was supposed to be a compliment or not.
Coming up with Dennis, too. What an intro. I feel blessed to be here.
We're very appreciative and very thank you that you're joining us today, of course.
Kind of like our Niners, DeAndre, coming in second.
Yeah. You know, right. I knew it was coming.
I know.
I knew it was coming, especially after the Dennis episode, which
I'm
thoroughly enjoying our struggle. And, you know, I said something that, you know, he doesn't get to see us lose that often. So he's like soaking it in, and that's fine. We'll just be here. We're just in for the ride.
I still have that cookie.
You did okay yesterday, though. You did okay. You did all right on Sunday. The Patriots aren't exactly stiff competition, but you made quick work of them for sure. But we might do a little bit more football later on too, but let's start with a little bit of hockey. Of course, our thoughts are going to everybody right now along the coast, not only Florida where you are, but all the way up, because Hurricane Helene has been quite something to deal with for a lot of different people. So first of all, how are you doing? How is your community doing with respect to that?
Yeah, honestly, this was a really weird hurricane. So we didn't even get a direct hit, but the damage it's grave. Like, it is really, really rough. Tampa's been really lucky. We've been able to dodge direct hits for years and years. You can actually do research on this. They're trying to figure out why it is that we don't get direct hits with hurricanes. But, you know, we're barely above sea level. And so the storm surge the river was overflowing, the bay was overflowing, the ocean was coming through people's homes. And actually, going back to hockey, a lot of the Lightning players live on Davis Island. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they all had, not all of them, but a lot of them, the ones on Davis Island, you know, had a lot of damage, a lot of water damage. And there's a story, I'll just talk about it on here because it's public, so I can say it. But, you know, Anthony Cirelli,
we've heard
we
it.
So
we
have
this.
Yep.
Okay.
We have this on our lineup, but you tell it because it's wow.
Yeah. So he lives on Davis Island. A lot of the guys do. And that started years ago. You know, when they were winning the Stanley Cup, it was kind of a thing where all the guys lived on Davis Island. They're all neighbors and, you know, they live right next to each other. So he lives on the island. Sorry, my dog's walking around. He lives on the island and he actually just rescued a dog. So it was he and his dog, and he has an electric vehicle. And we've learned through these storms that if you have like a Tesla or any type of electric vehicle, when the water floods through it, they explode basically. Ugh. So I grew up in Florida and I didn't even put two and two together with that, but it kind of clicked as the storm got going. Like, he has an electric vehicle and his neighbors came over to check on him and the water was getting really high. So we ended up, Tampa's very communal. So they got a kayak and put he and his dog on the kayak, and they had to take the kayak to another house, to his neighbor's home. And I guess the kayak maybe tipped a couple times. So this dog just got rescued and he's like really getting an introduction to Florida life early on. But yeah, I mean, and then, you know, some of his teammates came the next morning. With Davis Island, was you could only take a boat in and out for the first 48 hours. So the players had to go to practice. They had supposed to have a preseason game against Nashville. So he had to be at practice early in the morning. So some of the guys came and picked him up and they drove to practice together. But yeah, I mean, it just kind of shows like, the storm doesn't discriminate on who it's going to hit. Everyone kind of affected in some way. So
no, it's like, I mean, it's a happy story because there's a happy ending to it, but you don't know how that's going to turn out. By the way, the dog's name is Max.
Which is a great name. I mean, it's not as good as Steve, but it's
we'll
a good second.
We'll get to Steve eventually.
Yeah, we'll get to Steve in a second.
Yeah, Max is on the move right now.
Because he knows 77 seconds is coming up and Steve's in that. Yeah.
Right.
I love
Steve's
it.
In that.
I love that.
Well, I'm glad that you're all right. I'm glad that most people are. I know there's a great deal of damage, but maybe it could have been also a lot worse. So it's good to hear that most people are coming out at least, you know, healthy and in good shape. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing with the Lightning preseason. I feel like every year there's at least one game postponed. I think we were talking about that the other day. It's kind of expected. Like, we'll get at least one hurricane in the preseason. So just kind of how it goes.
Let me ask you this, moving into Tampa Bay and the Lightning, and I know this answer, but you've been there and you've seen it. What's this camp like without Steven Stamkos?
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
It's not the norm. I think, and you know, just thinking about what we were going to talk about on the show, I was kind of like reflecting on like what the vibes are, you know, and it's very different. Yeah. It's as expected. And I think, you know, Hedman talked about it right after he signed his contract of like training camp was going to be a big reality check for everybody, all of us, like in media, the players, you know, the coaches. It feels like pre-Stanley Cup vibes, and it just feels like maybe like the rug kind of got pulled out from underneath everybody, and they're kind of starting from ground. Now, I wouldn't say ground zero, but like they're like building back up again to what they want to be. And it's just like the presence of Stamkos is gone. And something that's, I would say, a positive is I've seen a lot of guys kind of stepping up in leadership roles. So you see like Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov has been very joyful and kind of like outspoken in a good way. And you can tell that he knows he's got to step up too. So there has been, I think people are being pushed out of their comfort zone, players. And again, like I can include media in it because Stamkos was that guy that we went to for everything. And, you know, it's just,
gave you everything all the time. Like he was always there for you.
Yes, he was the best. He was the gold standard of everything. So, you know, I think different guys are going to have to step up. You're going to see a very, very different team this year. Like, it's not your typical Lightning. There's still John Cooper, and they're going to be coached very well. But you're going to see a different team, a different vibe, different leadership with Victor Hedman. And it's, I mean, these guys have been playing with Stamkos for so long. And Vasilevsky and Point, all those guys are like, you know, this is the only captain we've ever had. So
it's bizarre.
Did that
provide a little bit of a boost to the team though, when Victor Hedman, I mean, we all knew he was going to be named captain. It was just a matter of when, right?
Yeah.
So when he was named officially and they made, you know, and made it ceremonial and all the rest of it, and here we go, did that provide a little bit of a boost that maybe this team needed after losing Stamkos, or not particularly?
I think it's still going to, it's so weird without Stamkos. I mean, I'm not even going to lie, but the fact that it was Victor Hedman, like if there was a guy to do it, and I think it's bittersweet for him, right? Cause he's so,
of course,
he's so grateful and so excited. He's put so much into this team, this organization, and it's an honor, you know, for him. And then also that's his best friend, you know?
So right.
He's like, you can just see it in his eyes, you know, he's kind of like, I'm excited, but also this, you know? So I think obviously unanimously they chose Victor Hedman to be the captain.
Yeah.
They were surveyed. Coop, you know, went around and asked all of the players, and unanimously.
I want to interrupt you there. Did you think that was weird that they actually conducted a survey? Because we don't usually hear about that. Was that like a bit of a bizarre story, or was it?
No,
or
I think
not.
The more that I like branch out and cover different teams in the league, I realize that we've always just done things very different in Tampa.
Okay.
And Coop's very hands-on and he has a great relationship with the players. Yeah. So it was not weird at all to me. I thought it was actually the right thing to do. And I think with Stamkos leaving and knowing how the players feel about it, I think that was the perfect thing to do and to really ask them, even though we knew it was going to be Hedman, you want them to have a say in it and you want them mm-hmm. to feel like they have a say in it. And I think that that was, that just kind of shows the relationship that Coop has with the players. You know, he has a very like even keel relationship with the guys. And no, that wasn't weird to me, but again, we do things very different in Tampa. So
got it.
Yeah. It was just, it was honest. And I'm actually really glad that they told us that because, you know, I don't know. It was just a kind of an inside look at things.
You said that this is going to be a different looking team this season, obviously without a Steven Stamkos, and we're a little ways away from opening night for them. Mm-hmm. Expand on that a bit, but also your first impressions of camp, putting Stamkos aside, not being there, your first impressions of the players that have been there and are there.
Yeah, well, I think the number one thing for Julian Brisebois, you know, going in to the summer was they needed to be better 5-on-5. Like there was no question about it. It was a struggle this year for them. This was a roller coaster ride of a season. And so they got better there. That was the goal. That was the ultimate goal. And when they sign a guy like Jake Guentzel, like you automatically elevate your game there. So you got to think of that top line is going to be Guentzel, Point, and Kucherov. So, right. I mean, that's like a dangerous top line right there.
Oh yes.
Like scary stuff. And so I do think like my impression, I would say this is the first year like ever for me that I've had questions about kind of what the Lightning were going to look like heading into the season. And it's kind of unprecedented though. It's because you take away Stamkos and you're like, okay, like where's the leadership going to come from? Who's going to push them through when times get tough and there's, you know, maybe injuries or anything like that. God forbid, hopefully there's not, but it's a long season, you know? So my questions come in there, but my overall vibe is that they are going to be better than what people expect them to be. And I think you have to look at, I know everyone was really surprised by the Sergachev trade, but to me, that was something I was watching the entire season. I wanted to see, he was the chip that was going to move. And couple reasons
so you expected that to happen then?
I expected that to happen. Yeah, okay. I was calling it all season actually.
Really?
Okay. To people, that were in there. Yeah, I was calling it all season. Couple reasons. One, he had just had a huge contract. He was making a ton of money and it was long term, and where the Lightning are in the salary cap. Like there was just no way to keep that. They had no wiggle room there. They were just locked in and they needed a lot of help. So I think it's going to be great for Sergei. He'll be the number one guy in Utah. He's going to do great.
Yeah.
And you bring a guy like McDonough back. That was another thing I was reminded right away when he got up on the podium. I was like, they missed McDonough big time. Yeah. this guy, from a leadership standpoint, if you're not going to have Steven Stamkos, you won't ride McDonough. And so that was kind of a pickup for me. Now, the power play without Stamkos is still a question. And
It looks bizarre, eh? I was watching it the other day and it's just everybody sort of is shifted around and in a different position. And I wonder so what is your impressions of the power play? Because that used to be one of the strengths of the team and now it looks very different. So what do you think?
Yeah, so I think they were moving again yesterday. Like I'm talking Kucherov was like on the right, then Kucherov was on the left, then back on the right. And so they do have some options, you know, they have the top power play obviously, and you could thank Stamkos for that. Cause that was, I think he had like 19 power play goals or something around there. Don't quote me on that. I think it was like 19, but, you know, they have some strength there. And I think it's going to take a while though. It's going to take a while. Actually, Brandon Hagel has been moved up. And he was kind of talking about like, it's going to get ugly sometimes, you know, he's like, I could be replacing like the best power play guy in the league. So,
no pressure.
You got to like work with me here, you know, just like be patient with me. He was like very, very honest, which I appreciated about what the power play is going to look like. They're so used to the same thing with Stamkos right there. And I think that that's something, you know, fans are going to be a little impatient with, but that's a reality, is like, it's going to take them a bit to figure out. But I also think at the same time, when you look at the playoffs and you watch them against the Panthers, like they needed some adjustments on the power play. Panthers shut them down and they shut down every team that they played. But if you want to make it past the first round, especially if you're the Lightning and you might have to play the Panthers, that's something you need to work on.
Yeah. Speaking of, behind Victoria is a Florida Panthers jersey.
Yeah.
So it's not my most favorite.
I love it.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Oh my gosh. I was so hoping you'd be on my side. Okay, I'm done. I
love that jersey.
You guys finished the segment.
The palm tree.
It's the palm tree with the blue and like the yellow. It's so good though.
It's
Yeah, chef's kiss, man. It's a good one. That's the all-star jersey, right?
It was one of them. What was it? Like the third... You know, I can't even keep track of what they call them anymore because they just roll out. This is celebrating this. This is celebrating that. But I know it came out. I think it came out 3 years ago.
Yeah, and, I always loved that jersey.
Yeah, me too. So I'm not. I'm not a Florida Panthers fan. I'm not a fan. I just appreciate hockey and I like all the teams and I like the NHL. But this, jersey, this sweater in particular,
I'm incredibly disappointed.
Can I add something to this?
Of course,
sure you can. Of course, Deandra, whatever you want to do, you can add whatever you want to do and talk about this jersey. Go ahead.
Okay, this might be an unpopular take too, or so I've just kind of been testing the waters to see, but I love Utah's branding and I love their colors. Like, and I know people think it's boring or whatever.
I like it too.
It's so good.
I like it too.
Okay, thank you, Ryan.
We're on board with that.
Okay.
I'm not just being nice because you don't like what I don't like behind the glorious head.
I'm completely ambivalent about the Utah. Yeah. It's fine. They can do it's all right. I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other, but I think it's all right. I don't hate on it like some people do. Some people do have some very strong opinions about it. And I don't think
it's terrible.
I don't think that makes much sense either.
So let's
just one last one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before we get to 77 seconds, what did you think about the Vasilevsky billboard and also his impression of it? Because I thought that was super adorable.
I love him so much.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, so do I.
Vassy is so great. He's so great. Like, and that's another something else that I picked up on at training camp or at media day, actually. He compared to last year, last year he was injured.
Right.
And so at media day, this is a day before we knew he was injured, but let's just call it a women's intuition. Like I was picking up on something was wrong with Vassy.
Right.
It was like an unsaid thing. It's like, he doesn't seem as excited this year. Vassy is, with the exception of Stamkos leaving, like after he got through that part, he's feeling good. And I think he's never really good season. His funny self, he's hilarious. Vasilevsky is so funny and he's really quirky. So the billboard is actually a few minutes from my house.
Oh, listen.
That's odd because that's great. I would not think that he's quirky. I would not think that he's funny just looking at the guy. And that's with all due respect.
He's so funny. Vassy, I don't know if you guys saw, this was last season. We was talking about how he didn't have cable, so he wouldn't be watching.
Oh, yes,
Vassy,
I did.
He said it's too expensive. Like he's that guy, you know, he's so funny. That billboard is perfect for him, and I loved his selfie. I thought it was iconic and it was great. I think he is in a really good place, I think, heading into this season. So
that's,
I think,
awesome.
He's healthy and he's showing his personality, so that tells me he's in a healthy spot.
Yeah.
That's good. You want him to feel jazzed going into the season. If anybody who's listening, go and Google there's a photo of Vasilevsky taking a selfie with a billboard of himself behind him.
Yeah. Incredible. And
it's well put together. This is a good photo. So you should definitely check it out. All right. Yeah. We're going to our new segment. Well, we launched it last week with Dennis Bernstein. We call it 77 seconds. So this is, it's going to be 7 questions.
Do you have your stopwatch again, Vic?
I do have my stopwatch.
See, that's just pressure that no guest needs to know.
She's the one who brought it up, but
I do
have a stopwatch.
Because I'm annoyed that she likes the jersey, so I'm trying to throw her off.
Right. 77 seconds, 7 questions. So you can elaborate a little bit, but not too much, obviously. And it's going to be rapid fire. And Ryan, let's go.
Okay, here we go. Do the Lightning make the playoffs?
Yes.
Over under 90 assists for Kucherov.
Ooh, it's going to be right there.
Oh, you have to pick.
100 assists is a lot to get twice a night.
Isn't it?
2 years in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
Under.
Well, it's 90. You're going to go under 90? Okay, under 90.
89.
All right.
Deandra took 70 of her 77 seconds with that one.
Sorry.
More goals, Stamkos or Guentzel? No bias here. Stamkos or Guentzel?
Damn. Ooh, you guys are killing me. These are hard. Oh, are we including power play? It doesn't matter.
Goals, goals, more goals. Cool. Who's going to score
go
more?
Stamkos. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
That's interesting that you go with that. Would you like to see more 3-on-3 extended time and overtime, or are you good with the shootout?
I hate shootouts.
Oh, there we go.
Yes, you're getting back in my good books.
Nice. We are all on team more hockey.
Give me 3-on-3.
Like most of us can agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Keep it going. NHL coach on the warm seat, if you were to guess.
To start the season.
Ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. I don't know. This is a tough one. I'd have to think about that. Can I pass?
Yeah, of course. We're gonna come back to that one.
I don't want to waste too much time.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how bummed are you about Christian McCaffrey's injury issues?
Please. That's like one of the million injuries that we have. Yeah, I'm bummed. Okay. I'm bummed. I don't need to elaborate too much, but the tendonitis, like, we don't even know our timeline yet. I can't.
It's brutal.
Don't get me going on those injuries in the 49ers.
Okay. From that to this, who's the best dog in the world?
I mean, I'm biased, but Steve is a great dog.
Who's the best dog owner in the world?
Yeah, we wanted to end on a softer note. So we can agree right now that in this scope, Steve is a very, very fine pup. We enjoy him on social media a lot.
Love him.
Yeah, he's
a
great guy.
I love hearing that. Anytime I tried, I'm like, oh, people got to be sick of seeing him. And then people will message me.
No. I'm like that with pets and kids. You just honestly, you can't post too much and people are, you're so sick of seeing my cat. I will never be sick of seeing your cat. You can post your cat, your dog, your kid every single day and I'm going to appreciate it because they're adorable.
Yeah,
right?
I'm the same way.
DeAndre, this has been a lot of fun. Out of time and we'll do this again. And by the way, I was thinking about this too before you came on. I've talked to you a number of times, whether it's on shows or phone or whatever it is, but this is the first time that I can say it's been nice to see you because we've actually seen each other.
Yes.
So we'll do this again. And a lot of fun. So I appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on. We should do like a mid-season check-in and see if any of my answers, where we're at with my answers.
Absolutely. Oh, we're going to do a way before mid-season check-in. Yeah. Way before mid-season check-in. And I'll send you some more thoughts on the Panthers jersey, why I don't like it. So maybe I can sway you in that direction.
I can't wait to see what you said.
I don't know. I'm going to sleep over this. Bucks and Seven, brought to you by Sprott Money. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We'll be back later on this week. And again, thanks for watching.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.